What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown of The Art of Letting Go. And no, this is not a new episode of The Art of Letting Go. This is actually a preview, a premiere of the podcast I produced with the singer, songwriter, multi-hyphenated artist Yanni Blue called The Creator's Toolkit. The past month, we released a new show, a mini series, and I wanted to share it with you all just to give you something to hold you over while you wait for the new episodes of The Art of Letting Go. Yes, we are coming back on Juneteenth. So be on the lookout for that. Also, check out The Creator's Toolkit, like it, subscribe to it, and enjoy the show. Yanni Blue.
Mike Brown.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited that we are in our second annual Merch Madness. You know, it was like just a fun idea that we had last year, but now we are stepping back into the competition, right?
Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are competing.
How was Merch Madness for you last year?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I don't even remember how we got into it. I do remember, you know, we hosted the discussion at Soho House, and there was the idea of like creating a one night only shirt for that evening. And then I feel like it kind of spiraled from there. I mean, in a good way, but the overall experience was really dope. I learned a lot. You had a good time doing Merch Madness. How was it for you?
It was dope, you know, from both a business aspect and a personal aspect, because, you know, we spent the whole month sober, which I'm probably going to try again. But it was nice to be sober and be present while doing this work. I ended up selling 30 items. That's probably the most I've ever sold at one time. And the process of it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. You know, we created a lot of content. We posted content every day, but created a lot of content. It really showed me that I can essentially create content, because I'm always giving myself I don't do this, I can't do this, but I did it, you know?
Yeah. It was fun because I know one of the conversations we had going into it was just trying to find more ways to make money off of our art, and merch always seems like a natural extension for anybody in the entertainment space, at least a tangible extension for people like us who work in audio. So I know there was that component. And then, like you said, the content component, I remember being really overwhelmed coming into it and just like wondering how we were going to do it. And I know we committed, in addition to committing to being sober that month and committing to pushing our merch, we also committed to posting every day. And I think we pretty much did, but we did post every day for the month of March, but we would front load, like every Sunday we'd get together and shoot a ton of content. And it was fun. You know, you mentioned how many things you sold. I went back to count my sales, and I literally only had sales for March. So it was easy to just look.
Say how many?
I only had sales for March, but I had 27, but like, I thought I would have to scroll through sales, and it was like, no, just had to count March. But it was cool to see, like, when you put the energy towards it, like it is super easy.
That's cool. What did you learn from Merch Madness? Like what lessons came up for you during that time?
I learned a lot about what support looks like to me, and you know, just understanding who is willing to put money behind me. A lot of my sales were family and friends, which was incredible, but just really understanding, like, if I want to be a successful creative entrepreneur, I need to be able to extend outside of those people. Like, who are the people who don't know me or don't feel like they owe me any kind of loyalty that are supporting me? So that was something that I started to really come to terms with towards the end of Merch Madness. Like, okay, well, who outside of my actual circle is supporting me? And not from a negative way. I feel really grateful to have people in my circle supporting me, but just, again, from a business standpoint, like, you know, we really want to run a successful business, we have to be able to get to the people outside of our circle. So that was something I learned. What about you?
I learned that I designed dope merch, because people definitely were buying my stuff up. And I think I learned that I had audience outside of, you know, that family, friend support
like I really made a lot of sales and got a lot of support, and you know, my stuff wasn't really cheap, so it was cool to see people purchasing items from me. And also I learned that just with putting effort and staying consistent with whatever it is I'm doing, I'm able to make sales. I'm able to make money. You know, I've been having merch up for the last couple of years and it wasn't really moving like that, but just taking the time to push it every day. Like, I feel like I almost made a sale every day, and that was cool. That was really cool to see. And, I also learned that I could be sober for a month if I want to. You know, I can do whatever it is that I want to do. So that felt good.
And I think we learned collectively how productive we can be being sober. Like, I remember there were days that we were getting like five or six things done in a day, just because that not being drunk made the need to stay in spaces so much shorter. Like, I remember we went to like support Homer at his show at Precinct, and we were just kind of in and out because we weren't drinking. We just went for the show and then left. And then when I think we were shooting content for merch that day, I remember going back to the common area and shooting content. Yeah, being sober really, I felt hyper productive. Like, that was last year. There were a lot of moments of feeling super tapped in, but Merch Madness, I felt very tapped in. And that's saying a lot because, and I'm sure we'll get into that too, I didn't really love all of my merch. Like, I know we said what were our favorites, but favorite is a strong word. I think I had things I liked, but I didn't love all of my merch, and I was still pushing it. So I'm excited to see what this year looks like with designs that I really feel a little bit more passionate about.
Being that we just recapped the last year of merch, what are you doing this year? If you don't mind telling me your plans. I know we're competing, but you don't mind sharing your plans.
It is such a friendly competition. It is the friendliest of competitions because we really supported each other a ton last year, and I think we're doing the same this year. But honestly, a lot of my plans are the things that we're going to be covering in this podcast, which is why I'm so excited to do it. I think I learned so much about, like I just mentioned, creating merch that you're passionate about. And I think I learned that with your Healing in Real Time shirt, just seeing the way the Merch Madness changed for you once you created that shirt, because it was like middle of the month and you came up with it and all of a sudden like your whole trajectory changed. And I was like, oh, it is a difference when you really are passionate about the merch. So that's one of the things I'm excited about this year, is pushing merch that I'm passionate about. The other thing is creating more accessible releases. I know we've been both talking about just like creating things that exist outside of the Ani Blue brand, outside of the Art of Letting Go brand. And yeah, from there, yeah, I'm just excited to make some money this month.
That's dope. I feel like the thing I'm doing different this year is I want to run some ads on my merch just to see how it affects the sales. Like, I've seen, you know, in running ads on workshops, how it's drawing people to it. So I want to run some ads on some of the stuff I'm doing. And the thing I'm doing different this year is putting my merch in your store. So, you know, selling merch in the same store.
Yes.
I feel like it gives people the opportunity to buy from both of us. So definitely run it up on my merch, but you know, get you some Ani Blue merch while you're there as well.
And it's important to know it's an Etsy store. So again, the reason for this podcast, the reason for all of this is like, we're trying a bunch of different shit out this year. So I think we realized keeping merch just on our websites is cool, but you know, our websites don't always get a ton of traffic depending on, you know, what's going on. So Etsy, at some point it came up for us as like an alternative for like, maybe it's just pushing these shirts into other people's algorithms, which we'll find out together and we'll do some research on that. But yeah, the Etsy store, with that was the idea, was like, can we create things that are a little bit more accessible, like outside of our personal brands? We are musicians, we are audio storytellers, we are queer Black men, we work in mental health spaces. And those are all things that people need to be inspired by. Like, one of my favorite shirts, again, this time around, is one of your shirts, the My Price Is My Price, because that has everything to do with you and nothing to do with you. And it's like, anybody who's just looking to have that little bit of motivation of like, you know, I got to stand on my price for us fellow creative entrepreneurs, that shirt's going to speak to them. You know, or like your experience with one of my shirts from the Who Am I series of, you know, the podcaster shirt, which is basically, it's the rating, the film rating, but it's, it says podcaster and a bunch of dope words that describe you. And I know that you wore it for like 72 hours while you were while you were figuring out a business matter, and you talked about how it empowered you because you saw those words. And it's like, I'm excited for all of that. I'm really excited for all of that. So, but yeah,
that's why I kept it on so long.
Right, right. Yep. You had to preserve the juices of figuring out what you were figuring out.
Stickers, and actually I need to, as I'm thinking about it out loud. So stickers and books. So I still have some books left. I have a few books left, you know, for anybody that's interested, and stickers. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Sitting there sending that email. I know you're struggling, trying to figure out, am I worth this price? Will they take this offer? Questioning if your client will accept what you are worth. Well, I have a reminder for you. It's a t-shirt, but also it's a reminder in letting you know what you are worth. My price is my price. Never forget that you are worth it. The time and energy that you put into your work, you are worth it. My price is my price. And you can get your shirt at yanniblue.etsy.com.
As creative entrepreneurs, we are connected with fellow artists on a similar path of trying to monetize their art. One such artist is Sad Boy Music. He's a New York-based electronic artist that I connected with on Twitter a few years ago. Initially, I thought that his visual aesthetic and merchandising ideas were amazing, and we've been collaborating a lot over the years. We recently decided to sit down with Sad Boy Music to talk shop and figure out how he navigates selling merch online.
Do you still sell merch, or you used to?
So I still sell merch. I just change how I do it now. So okay. I used to do it through Printify. I was doing my merch heavily through Printify, and now with Amazon, you can do on-demand merch, but it comes to you faster. The quality is really good, and it's a little bit cheaper. They take a cut out of it, but it's worth it. With Printify, sometimes it might take you like a week for your customer to get what they want. It may take 2 weeks, or it might get lost in the mail, and then you have to kind of fight with them about it, how to redistribute it again. But I'm gonna come back and do merch. I wanted to do some merch for some previous stuff that I thought I was gonna do, but I'm gonna do something a little bit differently and not be so hands-on with the with how it looks artistically. Like I'll just randomly draw shit out and be like, okay, this is what I want to make the merch look like. But now I kind of want to involve somebody in to make, I want kind of like to smooth it out a little bit more than what I can do, because I can't do every damn thing.
I wanted to know what has your journey with merch been like? Like what have been some of like the successes you've seen? What have been some of the challenges you've experienced?
I feel like when it's very when the merch is very simple, it's sort of like people can see like you just took an iron and went across. But when you put in like detailing into like to how it looks, so for example, I have the shirt that came out with my project PDO, and I drew out like this is a Saturn, this is it's this triangle and how it connects in the planets, and like my name is going around it, and it's kind of like it's taking there's some of my lyrics on the merch. And then I thought it'd be a cool thing of, you know, when you see someone wearing the artist merch, sometimes you really don't know who it is. So it's kind of like, so I put QR codes on the shirts. So if you see the shirt, you're like, okay, it's cool, I want to buy a shirt. But also, who the hell is this? You can scan it. You see everything that's linked back to me. So it's over time, I'm seeing the more I kind of dig and I kind of try to make it more fashionable, where it's more like palatable for every day, it connects more and it makes more revenue as well.
What advice do you have for creatives on their journey of selling merch?
My main thing about when it comes to merch, don't spend every dollar you got on it. Every piece of merch isn't gonna hit the way that you think it is. And when you're gauging prices, make sure it's reasonable for you. Because would you purchase it if it cost this much? I feel like sometimes artists gauge up their how much their merch costs because they want to receive something on the back end. And sometimes it's not about how much money you can make back all the time, even though we love a dollar over here. But it's about how much can I get out? Because my shirt, that's like, okay, my shirt costs $25, but then another thing is like $50. I'm like, okay, when I used to have the website, I was like, okay, if my shirt is $25, I'm just going to include my album with it. Pre-package it together. It's like you got a discount. You got an album that's worth $10 and you got a t-shirt. You got a bundle. You got something for like $35.
Did you hear the song playing in the back of the intro? Actually, it's playing right now. This is Yanni Blue's latest release, This Shit Hard, featuring me, Mike Brown, and Eddie Wayne. And it is available on all streaming services, so make sure you check it out.
Design has been a major focus as we relaunch this month, and exploring what resonates as cool with our audiences has been at the forefront of our minds. We recently sat down with Rio Japan, who is a Los Angeles-based designer and stylist, to gain his insight on this. Join us as we delve into his thoughts on the ever-evolving concept of cool.
I think everybody has a different background, and then people should use that into making art or designing. So, like I'm saying, is that do something different than, you know, people did already. I think that makes it very strong, like look or image.
Sad Boy and Rio shared some valuable knowledge with us that we look forward to applying in our journey of selling merch. I'm inspired by Rio's advice to use our backgrounds to come up with unique and creative designs, and Sad Boy definitely opened our minds to other outlets for selling our merch. Join us next week as we dive deeper into the business of selling merch. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Creator's Toolkit.